First on this edition of Food Friday, cooking is a family endeavor for celebrated chef Jacques Pepin and his granddaughter. They have a new cookbook out. It's called A Grandfather's Lessons in the Kitchen with Shory, and it's filled with family recipes that are unique and accessible for cooks of all ages.
Jacques Pepin joins us now along with his granddaughter Shory. Jacques and Shory, bienvenue à Central Time.
Oh, merci beaucoup.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
So, Jacques, we'll start with you. Why did you want to write a cookbook of recipes that you've made along with your granddaughter?
Well, it started, not long after she was born. She started being in the kitchen with me, helping. She had a little box standing on top and giving me things and tasting food for me. Of course, now she's taller than I am, but... Actually, we decided to do a series of little tapes together doing recipes that we like to do. She loved chocolate or any type of dessert. And we didn't even want to do a book. And Claudine, my daughter, Shory's mother, said, oh, you got to do a book with that. So we did that little book. And actually, in the book, there is about 70 recipes, but there is 36 of those recipes are DVD, you know, where you can access. If you want to know how it's done, then you can see Shory and I making the recipe. You know.
Yes, so you just go online on Sur la Table, and there are the sets of videos that we made for some of the recipes.
You can see that Shory has a different accent than me because I live in Connecticut and she lives in Rhode Island.
Yes, we could hear that Connecticut accent.
Yeah, right. Shory, what are some of your earliest cooking memories?
Well, I've been eating with my grandfather and my parents my whole life, all this good food. But I think I started really cooking with him when I was about 6 or 7. It was for the Essential Pepin series, and I did stand on a box.
And Shory, you know, it's funny when you know someone who's famous, but you know them from an early age, you don't necessarily realize that they are well known and that they are well respected. Do you remember when you figured out, hey, I think Pepi is maybe a bigger deal than I thought?
Honestly, I don't think I've really figured it out yet. When I was younger, I just thought of him as my grandfather, and people were always asking me, what was it like to have him as my grandfather? And I was like, what do you mean? You know, he's my grandfather. So it's hard to take in that people think of him in that way.
And Jacques, yes. I want to get into the cookbook, A Grandfather's Lessons, and going through the recipes. I mean, from the title, some of them sound like they're going to be fancy and complicated. These all seem doable, even for someone like me. Was that what you were shooting for in this cookbook?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always like to simplify food. I've done it. I think this is book number 32 for me. So, but I even simplify it further with this. I wanted her to be able to do it. I wanted her to have fun. And, you know, with a kid, it starts, when she was very tiny, going to the garden, take her to the garden. And her father is a chef as well, so they have a big garden. Go get me some tarragon. No, this is chive. No, this is parsley. And then even going to the market with me, you know. And I tell her, go get me some pear. Make sure smell them, make sure they are ripe or whatever. So the kid, you know, have to handle, touch the food, and be with in the kitchen with you just for fun. And, you know, in the cooking together, we bring a lot of other things in there. For example, you know, we'd have a tomato. I say, well, is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable? Where does it come from? Or whatever. Or then I ask her, give me 3 tablespoons of butter. How many tablespoons you have in that stick? How many stick in a pound? How many tablespoons in that glass of milk? So we bring mathematics in it. We bring all kind of things through food, you know.
So Jacques, I think one of the things that is different between France and the U.S. is that there is a long tradition of home cooking in France that continues to this day. Certainly, some convenience foods have been introduced, but I think there's a fair number of American parents who would like to get in the kitchen with their kids, but they don't actually feel like they have the skills to pass along. Do you think this book would be good for them, too?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it can go. I mean, look, for example, I do a chicken there. I can, of course, home I roast a chicken most of the time, but I wanted to show her, we were at the market and there's nice chicken coming out of the rotisserie. I said, let's get a chicken, I'll show you something. I bought some nice Boston lettuce. I love Boston lettuce, any lettuce would do. I spread them on a large tray, and then with a shear we cut the chicken, and then in the skillet I put some olive oil to a bit of a chopped onion or shallot, some garlic. We spread that on top of the cut chicken, a bit of lemon juice. And all of a sudden, you make it your own, you know, so you transform it. We did another dish like that. I said, you want to do a cake for your mother for her birthday? I want to show you how to do it. So we buy a nice quality pound cake and a little jar of raspberry preserve. We heat the raspberry preserve in the microwave. I trim the pound cake all around. We put the trimming in the food processor to make crumbs. And then with two little pieces of wood, actually I use two ribs of celery now, one on each side of the cake. I can put the knife flat and show her how to slice the cake. It's not that easy, but that make a guide. And then we put jam on top of it. We put back the crumbs and we have a beautiful little cake. I mean, anyone can do that.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Jacques Pepin and his granddaughter, Shori. Their new book is A Grandfather's Lessons in the Kitchen with Shori. I want to get into some of the recipes you've shared with us. Let's start with, these look wonderful in the picture, the cottage cheese pancakes. Can you tell us the story behind these, Jacques?
Behind that my wife who makes cottage cheese pancake, and Shori was there, and she said, oh, I love those pancakes. I said, okay, well, we're going to do a recipe then. And she wanted to serve it with blueberry. She loved blueberry. I think we put a little bit of apricot preserve with that, and they are very easy. They are done in a few minutes. Shori, have you done them home by themselves?
Yeah, we have actually done them once or twice. I really like having them for breakfast.
Good.
What does the cottage cheese add to the pancakes?
Well, moisture, a little bit of a different taste, you know, texture as well as moisture, and it's kind of light and relatively not too caloric, you know.
And you can actually see that recipe for the cottage cheese pancakes over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Shori, you know, you're growing up in the United States. There are kids who don't eat everything that comes to the table that adults are eating. They're eating fish sticks and chicken fingers and plain spaghetti. But you really grew up eating everything. And are you glad you did?
I mean, when I was growing up, there was no other option to not eat what they put in front of you. So my parents said, this is what we're having for dinner. I never had the idea to ask for something else. So that's, I think, is a big reason why I didn't grow up picky. And I'm definitely glad that I haven't grown up that way.
But now that you're grown up, is there any option?
No, there's not.
Oh, but that said, there are recipes for spaghetti and hamburgers,
sure,
and mac and cheese, a lot of the basic things we think of as kid foods you've got versions of in the cookbook, Jacques.
Yes, we even have a curly dog. You
know? That's right. That looked great.
I used to work for Howard Johnson many, many years ago. I was in the test kitchen, so we used to produce at the commissary tons of hot dog, you know. So I used to fool around with them, putting them in soup or with sauerkraut or with all kind of thing. And one day, I don't know why we came out with that idea of cutting them so they kind of curl up. So, you know, some of the recipes are fun, but I mean, we did a little pickling things to put on top, and you add that on half a hamburger bun, and it's a great recipe. It's fun.
We're talking with Jacques Pepin and his granddaughter Shori about cooking in the kitchen as a family. They have a new book out right now. It's called A Grandfather's Lessons in the Kitchen with Shori.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What cooking questions do you have for Chef Pepin? If you cook with your kids or your grandchildren, how did you get them interested in the kitchen? Or maybe you're looking for some advice on how to get cooking as a family. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find some of the recipes we're talking about on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll be back with Jacques and Shori in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're continuing our conversation on this week's Food Friday with Chef Jacques Pépin and his granddaughter, Shori. They're with us to talk about tradition and cooking through the generations. And they have a new cookbook out called A Grandfather's Lessons in the Kitchen with Shori. In it, they share family recipes and stories.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are some of your favorite recipes to cook with your kids or grandchildren, or that you remember cooking when you were growing up with your parents or your grandparents? What advice would you like to get from our guests on cooking on particular dishes or on cooking as a family? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or find some recipes from our guests on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And Jacques and Shori, let's talk about your tomato soup recipe. And Jacques, the way you introduce it, it sounds like tomato soup is a base that you can turn into just about anything you want.
Yes, actually, you know, it's a tomato soup, but you can make a sauce for pasta with it. You know, you can add it to a stew. You can do all kind of things. You can serve it hot. You can serve it cold. You can serve it lukewarm. You can serve it with the cream or without the cream. You can serve it with herb from the garden. Very often, if we have, of course, on not only tarragon, but certainly basil, we would put that on top. Yes, so it's a kind of very versatile recipe.
Is that a favorite of yours, Shori?
I love tomato soup. I've grown up eating it. So, yeah, this really tastes like home.
Let's bring on a caller now. Tim is with us in Madison. Tim, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Tim?
Well, I just used to watch the Essential Pépin show all the time, you know, on PBS. And I just love to watch this young granddaughter interact with her grandfather. It was especially enjoyable. And I love the chocolate, as you mentioned before. I can remember those series, but I just was curious to know from each of them if they have any particular memory doing that series together, if anything, you know, stands out for them.
Well, I remember you step on that little box too, and we had chocolate, and I said, test it. You put your finger to it, I push your finger in it. Then after you add it on your face, on your
yes.
lips. I don't do that with you anymore.
No, I remember I had chocolate on my face like the entire episode, and I watched it just recently, actually, and I was like, what was I thinking? Why didn't anyone get that off of my face?
Yeah. But you know, okay, 6 years ago, that's 6-7 years ago, and for me, who passed 80 years old, it's not that long ago, but for you, it's half of your life, right?
Yeah.
And did you have favorites of what you made on that show?
Do you?
I actually really liked that recipe with the graham crackers and the chocolate on the inside.
Graham cracker, yes.
That was probably one of my favorites.
Thanks for that call, Tim. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for Jacques and Shori. And next we have Mary Beth calling from New Berlin. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi there. I wanted to thank Jacques for something that I learned while watching one of his shows that has just become a family favorite for us. He made a swan out of a melon and then put cut fruit in it. And it's just such an elegant presentation for fruit. And I do that so often, and my family loves it. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. Well, thank you very much. It's always rewarding for me to have, you know, people should look at a recipe and try to do it just the way it is, at least the first time. If it comes out good, you're likely to do it again. Second time, you take a faster look. By the third, fourth time, you, quote, improve the recipe. You want more tomato in it, or you want to cook it shorter, or whatever. And a year later, you don't remember where it come from, and it has become your own recipe. You kind of massage it to your sense of taste, to your sense of aesthetic. And I think it's something which is gratifying to me when people do that.
Thanks so much for that call, Mary Beth. And Jacques, I want to ask you a question. There's a photo at the beginning of the cookbook, and you and Shori are in the kitchen together, and you are dipping a balloon in chocolate. And
yes.
I want to know what you're doing there.
Well, we dip the... You want to explain that? Okay.
So we melt down the chocolate in the microwave, and you have to make sure to not scorch the chocolate. You can't do it over 40 seconds. And then you take the balloons and you blow them up and you sort of roll them in the chocolate. And then you put them in the fridge.
Inflated balloons.
Right.
Inflated balloons. Yes.
Yeah. And you roll them in the chocolate. You put them in the fridge and let the chocolate harden, and then afterwards you can pop the balloons and take them out, and you have this beautiful chocolate goblet that you can put mousse or whipped cream or something, and it's a really nice presentation.
Strawberry, raspberry,
yes, fruit,
whipped cream. Mm-hmm.
And I'll say I've done a lot of these Food Friday segments. This is the first time I've seen a recipe include 4 latex balloons.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yes.
And I wanted
you don't put it. No, don't put any mashed potato in it.
No, no.
No.
Well, speaking of chocolate, one of the recipes you shared with us, I want to make sure we get into. We've got this on the Ideas Network Facebook page, the chocolate nut and fruit treats recipe. Jacques, tell us about that one.
Yes, this is very, very easy. Again, you melt your chocolate in the microwave oven, and you take those tiny little paper cup, you know, about 3-4 tablespoons big, it doesn't really matter. And then you pour about 2 tablespoons of the value of melted chocolate in it, and before it hardens, then you garnish the top. You embed into the soft chocolate, you embed any type of nuts you want, walnut, hazelnut, almond,
fruit.
Pistachio, and then a fresh fruit, you cut pieces, dry fruit, cranberry or whatever, even a little piece of mint, you know, we put, and then you put that in the refrigerator 15, 20 minutes, it hardens, you remove the paper cup, and you have beautiful little dessert, which you would spend a fortune in a restaurant to have.
We are talking with Jacques Pépin and his granddaughter, Shori. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And I want to point out something that's in this cookbook. Very simple recipe, but a very French recipe to me, which is radishes with butter. And whenever I have radishes with butter, people here look at me a little funny. What is so great about radishes with butter? Shori, why don't you take that one?
Well, I think that since radishes have a really strong flavor, obviously they're kind of spicy, the butter sort of complements that. And I think that if you put like butter and salt on it, it's just the flavors, they go really well together. So
yeah, with a good baguette, though.
Yes.
We also, I'm sure you have seen, instruction on folding napkin, on setting up the table. We have instruction on table manner, which Shori loves to do because I was the guinea pig. And she told me, don't slouch, don't put your elbow on the table, don't speak with your mouth full, don't interrupt me, bring the spoon to your mouth, so forth. So
no
she had
slurping.
A good time correcting me. Yes, right.
So Shori, what do you recommend to kids who might want to start cooking but really don't know where to start, and maybe their parents don't know where to start?
Well, I think that if you want to start cooking as a kid or as an adult, you should just find like something that you enjoy eating and find a simple recipe for it and then just try and make it. I mean, there's not much that can go wrong. My friends and I, we sometimes try and make food together, and it's usually more about the process of actually making the food instead of the outcome, because it's not always so great.
Yeah, the process also of going to the garden if you have one, and even if you don't have one, going to the market, bring the kid to the market, make them pick up the strawberry, the fruit, and so forth. I mean, frankly, you know, at my age, how do you communicate to a kid who's 12 years old? She's very fast with her iPad and iPhone, much faster than me. But then at least we have a common ground here. We can talk and eventually, you know, talking in the kitchen, and we talk around the table, and that's, I think, very important. So the kid has to get involved from day one. I don't think I ever made baby food for Claudine when she was small. We just had not a cuisinier. At the time, it was a blender, yes, starting. So anything we ate, I put in the blender, short of not to season. And she would have that as a puree. So meaning that by the time the kid is 8 years old, if you do, spaghetti and cream sauce, well, they know that taste because they probably had it as a puree when they were small, you know.
And Shori, my kids are about your age, and they're not fussy eaters, but there's a lot of stuff in the book that I don't think they would eat if I put it in front of them. Do you encounter that as you meet your peers? They look at what you're eating and they're like, what? What is that?
I think I actually have a really good group of friends. Okay. They're all very diverse, but in my school, there are probably many people who are not as open to new ideas and unfamiliar foods like that. So, yeah, I understand.
And Jacques, there are some really lovely little line drawings, besides wonderful photos in this book. And I understand that those are yours.
Yes, not only the drawing. You can see on the first open page, I have the drawing of one menu that I did, and Shore did the other one. So after 51 years of marriage, I have 12 books of menu. This way, you know, that we've done when people come at home. My whole life, you know, is on this. I can see my mother signing in there, my two brothers. I can tell you what Claudine, my daughter, had for her fifth birthday. Mm-hmm. So this is the habit that we do at the house that, Shore, you do at your house also now.
Yeah.
And you do the drawing.
I think we have one book and then one in progress. So it's a little bit of a newer tradition in our house right now. But yeah.
Wow, so it's like a historical family scrapbook of meals.
Yes, and you don't even have to do a drawing. Take a book and record, you know, the holiday, certainly the birthday, all of that type of stuff. When special guests come, you can also look at them and say, those people had dinner here 3 years ago, what did we serve them? Mm. So you don't serve the same thing. Or maybe you serve the same thing.
Maybe they really liked it and they want the same thing.
So, Shore, as we wrap up, if you had to make something for a big party this weekend, what would be your go-to dish in our last few moments?
I would definitely make, like, just roast chicken and a salad. It's simple, it's clean, and almost everyone likes it. I've never met a person who doesn't like roast chicken, so.
And Jacques, what are you going to be making whenever you get back home to Madison, Connecticut?
Ooh, fish, probably. I mean, the Arctic char for me with a fresh tomato. That's very good. My wife loves fish, so yeah, that type of thing.
Well, Jacques, Shore, merci beaucoup. We really enjoyed having you with us.
Merci bien.
Merci.
Merci. Merci. Au revoir. A bientôt, j'espère. That was Jacques Pépin and his granddaughter, Shore. Their new book is A Grandfather's Lessons in the Kitchen with Shore.
And you can find three of the recipes from that cookbook and try making it at home. They are all pretty easy and approachable. Well, what do we have? The pancakes?
We have cottage
the tomato
cheese pancakes.
Soup.
Tomato soup and
chocolate fruit
nut.
And nuts.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can find that all on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And if you have a favorite Jacques Pépin memory, you can share it there as well. Again, that's on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR.